You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Researchers have estimated that long COVID could be costing the New Zealand economy $2 billion a year. The finding follows an Australian study which calculated the economic impact of COVID in Australia. I spoke to one such researcher, Professor of Health Economics Paula Lorgalley, about the estimate long COVID and what New Zealand can do about the costs of long COVID. The study that the estimation follows took place in Australia, so how were the Australian results extrapolated to New Zealand?
We simply took the percentage impact of GDP and applied it to New Zealand. We felt that that was a relatively sensible extrapolation because Australia's pandemic response with its lockdown and its closed borders was very similar to New Zealand's response. And also their estimate lies within the bounds of some OECD estimation of the GDP that's been lost to long COVID.
How common is long COVID in New Zealand?
Great question. We don't know. We failed to set up a kind of a systematic surveillance. There was a discussion of having some COVID surveillance, which could have led to some long COVID surveillance. We know that there is long COVID. The expectation around the world is it's maybe 1 in 20, maybe less than that. Our long COVID experience might be different in New Zealand because we had closed borders for so long and we only really got COVID from the Omicron wave onwards. But there is an expectation there are thousands of people with long COVID in New Zealand.
So at the moment, do we just have no way of tracking the amount of people that are actually suffering from long COVID in New Zealand?
There is one way, which is we could go into primary care health records and ask them, so if you've gone to your GP with symptoms of long COVID, hopefully your GP has been able to identify that and is coding it using long COVID codes, which exist in primary care records. Sometimes they don't use the coding. And sometimes people have been acknowledging that they are struggling to get a diagnosis, so there's some challenges there as well. And then also the biggest challenge is that we don't have access to GP records as part of our national health data drive. So that would be having to go to individual primary health organisations to then ask them to go and pull that data. So yeah, we could find out, but it's not going to be an easy task.
What causes these economic costs of long COVID?
Yeah, so the symptoms of long COVID are fatigue and cognitive burden, pain in your joints, and just, for some people it's an inability to even get out of bed. For other people it's, just immense pain. Someone described recently as feeling like their legs had bees in them. So there's a myriad of symptoms. And because of those symptoms, some people can't work. And a lot of the estimate is the productivity lost because you're not no longer in work and contributing that way. It was also part of the measure is the fact that a lot of these people need carers, caregiving, and formal carers. So members of your family also take part in doing that caregiving role, and so it's their time as well, where they could be doing something else. Now they're caring for people with long COVID, and I think part of the big impact is that these are relatively young people. So we often think that COVID affects older people, and it definitely had a high mortality rate in older people, but for those who survived, it's affecting people in their kind of prime of their working life. And so that's why we're getting this large cost impact.
What's needed to mitigate the cost and prevalence of long COVID?
So you can't get long COVID unless you've had COVID. So we still need to make sure that we've got our prevention processes in place, So testing if you're unwell, isolating, following guidance, which is not mandatory, it's still unfortunately guidance. Masking, right? So if you're feeling unwell or you want to protect somebody, mask up when you're inside, and doing things like ventilation and allowing yourself to rest if you do get COVID. So there's don't follow what was happening in the Olympics, where there's a few Olympians who admitted to having COVID and still running, extreme races that's not going to be great for your body. Your body needs to rest and recover from COVID. If unfortunately you do get COVID, long COVID, then I think we need some better workplace policies. We need some additional ways of managing and helping people manage their symptoms of long COVID so they can get back. So maybe it means that you work in the morning and then you spend your afternoon resting. And so at least you can do some of a job, if not all of a job.
Will long COVID become more of a pressing issue over time as more people get COVID and are therefore susceptible to long COVID?
Yeah, we don't know enough about COVID. So there's people who recover, which is amazing. But of course, every day somebody is getting COVID and therefore are at risk of long COVID. And so we have we don't have great data in terms of trying to understand if those people who have recovered, some of whom might relapse again, and then in terms of like the additional incidents that we're getting. So yeah, it could be a growing burden because we are still going to be faced with new waves of COVID, and potentially we might have less uptake and even less availability of vaccines. So I guess for the student population, most students probably got vaccinated last in 2022. You know, anyone under 30 can't get a booster. So, you know, there's a group of individuals who are at quite high risk of long COVID just because they're at greater risk of COVID.
That was Professor of Health Economics, Paula Lorghelli, speaking to me about the economic impacts of long COVID.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.